Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, Kevin here, and if you're wondering why you're hearing my voice, it's because we're doing things a little bit differently today, and hopefully in the future, if you guys will allow us to, this is another one of those 0.5 episodes with Joe Battisi and myself, and we are going to try to put these out on a regular basis. So surprise, hope you enjoy what we're doing here. We'll get into it during the episode, but what we're going to try to do is give bonus content to our Patreon subscribers. Well, for now as Patreon subscriber, we want to give a special thanks to David Lang for being the first Patreon subscriber. If you guys want to join David and get all the bonus episodes from here on out, go ahead and visit patreon.com/realspoilers. You know how to spell it, real with two E's. And at the $5 or higher level, you'll get a special RSS feed that will allow you to get these bonus episodes and hopefully other perks in the future. So Joe and I are going to dedicate ourselves to doing one episode per week. Hopefully you guys want them. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. I know that the last 0.5 episodes we did, people seem to really dig them and say to keep them up. And so we tried to figure out a plan that would allow us to support doing them and raise some funds for the show. Because as you know, we don't have a lot of ads. We try to give you regular scheduled content, and that's about it every week. Joe and I love doing this, and we love to talk about things other than just the box office and the movie. So this gives us a chance to do it. It was a heck of a time getting Joe on the phone. You'll hear some of it during the episode. It was funny. He got back from dropping his daughter off to daycare, and as soon as he got back, he turned on his computer, and if any of you are Windows users out there, I know we're going to catch flack from the Mac users, but as soon as he turned it on, it decided to do all of its updates. I don't know if Joe had Windows 95, but it took about an hour to get his computer up to speed so he could get on Skype and talk to me. And then once he was, it sounded like he was in the dugout of a baseball game or something. The quality was terrible. So I ended up just calling him on the phone. It was like almost 2 hours after we were planning on recording. So I wanted to get this up for today to be the first Patreon exclusive bonus episode. Of course, you're hearing this on the regular feed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to tell you about it. So enjoy. But from now on, if you want to hear these bonus episodes, please give us some feedback. Tell us if you like them. And then go to patreon.com/realspoilers. Hopefully that will be worth it for you. And we will make a first priority, as we say in this upcoming show, to buy Joe a new microphone with any money that we raise so that we can get regular content. I think by next week we should have it sorted out. But until then, happy Friday, and we hope you enjoy the new episode.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from a radioactive bunker deep inside the Bracket compound, this is Real Spoilers, episode 373.5. So you know what that means? If you've heard one of these episodes before, it means it's myself, Kevin, and Joe talking. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
And if Joe sounds like he's calling in from the Kentucky Derby or something, we were having some weird...
Hey, whoa. Why would I be calling from the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, I'm sorry. If you thought Joe was at a Monday Night Raw that was in Kentucky...
There we go. Next week, this Monday, in St. Louis, Monday Night Raw will be here.
You sound like you are ringside at the fights. But hopefully it's a quality... wait a minute. The content is the quality.
Quantity over quality?
Yeah, right? Because we're comparing quality to quality, so that's why it's confusing. So it's like the content quality versus the audio quality, so I'm not sure how to compare that. But anyway, this is Real Spoilers. It's just Joe and myself talking. We, first of all, want to introduce what we're doing. We did a couple of these little test episodes. We like to talk about, the Oscars, for example, was one. We did another one when Batman was cast, I think. We were like, we got to talk about this because... wasn't there?
Well, so I guess to go even further back, there was a second podcast that was like the sister podcast of Real Spoilers that was basically this. Like, we talk about news, we talk about rumors, stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
With like an overlying topic.
Right,
You might be able to find those. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. They're so, I mean, we're going back like 6-7 years ago. But so, okay.
Yeah.
So we used to do the Review STL podcast, and that was, based out of ReviewSTL.com before Real Spoilers even really got, it was the very beginning of all the podcast stuff we were doing. And that's the site that, of course, I write for, friends of the show, Brad Hyan, Steve Kelly, got a couple people that write for it. But anyway, so what we would do is things that we didn't want to take up time for with Real Spoilers. So when we're either doing a box office episode, which didn't exist back then, or a movie episode.
That was when Real Spoilers was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. And so we did not want to fill it up, or I should say Tom and Dan, who actually have lives.
That's more appropriate. Yeah.
They have real jobs, 9-to-5s, and they do, we don't want to keep them around so that we can talk about Steve Austin won the belt, or Arnold is fighting the Predator again, or whatever we want to talk about. But Joe and I do, and we also know that people like to hear about what maybe we're listening, what movies we've seen, things that are off topic, conversational off-roading, if you will.
That is a Real Spoilers trademark. That's true.
It is. So this is what we want to do. So we've been talking for a long time about a way that we could raise funds for the show, not to get rich or anything, but so that we can pay for web hosting and pay for equipment. Joe's microphone. Pardon me.
Yeah, Joe's shitty microphone, yeah.
So we're trying to figure out how can we raise money for the show, a la a Patreon, Kickstarter type thing, but we don't want to take away any content for the listeners, right? So
we don't
want to say, okay, hey, now there's a paywall. You can listen to 5 episodes for free. Then you know, we don't want to do anything like that. The show's always been free. We're at episode 373 was the last official episode. We've never charged for it, and we don't plan on charging for it, you know? So
absolutely not.
Hear some ads.
Unless somebody's like, offers us buku bucks to do the show.
Right. And then, like we said before, we'll go to REAL Spoilers, and they can have the old Real Spoilers.
So
the plan is not to charge for anything that you're already getting. But we thought, well, you know what? If we want to raise some extra funds, maybe we can offer some bonus content like a 0.5 episode.
Yeah.
And so Joe and I have, at least for now, decided that we will dedicate one day per week. You'll probably get these on Friday, so you'll get the big movie of the week on Thursday. You should have a 0.5 episode by Friday, and that's where we can kind of review things. Maybe if there's a correction, a lot of times the listeners in the League of Show Shares, they'll say, hey, I just listened to the episode, and you guys got stuff wrong. That happens quite frequently, actually.
It's mostly because of me.
But, we can talk about that. If there's a big omission, Alicia Vikander has an Oscar and we say she doesn't, boom, 0.5 episode.
No, there's not we. Like, everybody else fucked me. I thought you did.
Hey, but I do know her husband. Well, not personally.
That's true.
Maybe,
that's fair. Yeah.
So we can talk about that. We can talk about WrestleMania. We can talk about video games. We can talk about podcasts that you're listening to. The topics are endless. We'll try to keep them to around an hour. We're not going to go on for 4 hours or anything like that. But it's a chance to talk about things that are usually tangents, and we usually have to cut off because you'll hear one of us go, hey, look at the clock. We got to finish this movie up, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's...
Whatever you're doing, stop this conversation.
Exactly. So that's what we're thinking this will be for. And so how will you get these episodes? Well, you're listening to this one. We posted this one up on the regular feed so that you would hear about it. It would be kind of hard to sell you this pitch without posting it. But the idea is that if you were to contribute a certain dollar amount, I think right now we're thinking $5 per month.
So, I think $5 seems fair.
Yeah, so there's 4.4 weeks in a month on average. So we're talking about you're going to get between 4 to 5 new episodes for $5 a month, a dollar an episode.
Right.
That's all you're paying for the two of us to take an hour or two to record and edit and post all this stuff. So we don't feel like that's too much to ask for. You guys can tell us if you think it's a crazy idea, but it is a way to raise money for the show. And that way we can buy better equipment. We can, you know, pay for the web hosting, all the stuff that comes out of our pockets, because right now,
or even if you like what you want to hear, like if there's something you guys want to, if you're willing to pay the $5 and there's something you guys want to hear from us, whether it be a review of a certain movie that maybe we didn't cover on Real Spoilers, or maybe an audio commentary for a movie that you think would be fun, let us know. And if you are willing, if you guys are willing to pay the $5, we'll do what you want us to do.
Absolutely. Dance, monkey, dance, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we will dance.
So that's the thing. So it's going to be what our plan is to talk about these conversational off-roads, to talk about these tangents, some current events, podcasts, things that are going on. But also, yes, like Joe said, the listeners, the League of Show Sharers, things that you want to hear. If you're a part of this group, if you're a part of this, which we are running on Patreon, it has existed for quite some time now. We don't promote it because, again, we're not trying to push and say, give us money or else type of thing. It's just out there if someone wants to donate. So our plan is right now $5 a month. You can, of course, donate more. You can donate a one-time of any amount. You can donate monthly any amount. It's up to you. But the bonus content will be $5 a month minimum. And then in the future, we're talking things like T-shirts. We've got a couple designs ready. So if you want, if you're interested, like tell us, let us know you think that's a good idea. We can do something like where if you donate a certain amount per month, then, you know, you'll get sent a T-shirt. Maybe we can do something like every 6 months, you get the newest T-shirt design or whatnot, something that would be exclusive
for sure.
Yeah. So we've got lots of ideas kicking around. And if you have an idea that something that you would feel comfortable with, or maybe you say, hey, if I get to do this, I would even feel better about it. Like, what if you get a guest spot? What if we invite you to come on to the actual Real Spoilers or this show? You know, whichever one fits best or whichever one we can talk the other guys into doing. But let's say that you're this X amount per month. What if we draw from a hat, so to speak, one name that gets to be a guest on one of the episodes, right?
There's
a lot of potential here. And so the main thing is, like I said, we want to make this all a bonus. We don't want to take anything away, and we're not doing that. So for the Patreon League of Show Shares, whatever we're going to call this subscriber base that's paying for it, you're going to be privy to the bonus content and also those opportunities that will develop down the road.
Right. So, one of the other things we could do is if you're paying for it, maybe we set up a different RSS feed. So you will get not only the Real Spoilers themselves, but you will also have a separate feed that could have these point episodes or the commentaries or whatever. That way you don't have to worry about going to Patreon or finding it or things like that.
Sure.
Our goal is to make it as easy as possible for you guys to find our content for you.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll definitely do that. There is a way that when you subscribe on Patreon, I know I do it for some other podcasts, that they'll send you a special RSS feed, and then it just all merges together. So it's great.
Yep. Perfect.
Now, for a second, I want to play that Sarah McLachlan song with the you know, arms of an angel or whatever.
Why are we doing that?
Because there are some poor little boys in podcast land that don't have a proper microphone, and for only a one-time payment of $129.95 or $10 a month times a year.
Yeah, right.
You can give these poor little podcast boys a proper microphone.
A proper microphone so they don't sound like the, you know, they're sitting ringside at a baseball game.
Exactly. So anyway, on to better subjects. So Joe, you kind of opened up a wormhole here. You posted on the League of Show Shares.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
You said, hey,
we're... and then we got, you know, of course we've got Hugh Kelly being a jerk off about the, you know, who's your favorite writer on Review SPL.
Right. But you opened
things of that nature.
but you know what you did? You asked, hey, what do you want us to talk about in this episode? And we got questions that I never thought that I would hear asked, and
I figure we'll just start them.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So I figure what we want to accomplish with these episodes is we want to talk about news, like we said, want to talk about maybe shows that we're listening to, other things. Like, I love it on the League of Show Shares when people are like, hey, I'm listening to this podcast, and do you guys listen to this?
Great.
It's great. It's great to build community. It's great cross-promotion, all that jazz. So there's that, and then I want to talk about things that are going on the League of Show Shares, things that people are sharing, talking about, comments, corrections, whatever. And so today's obviously will be this mega thread that I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah.
It would be probably from yesterday by the time you're listening to this. Maybe this will get up today.
Yeah, it should. And when we post the show, I will make sure to kind of post again inside the questions, and that way it should re-up it and you can find it again at the top of the page.
Perfect, perfect. So yeah, so if we want to go back and forth on this stuff, Joe, do you have access to it right now?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so I'll start this one off because this is, I'm just going down my list chronologically here. And so early on, we had Brad Hyen telling you to convince me that Edge of Tomorrow is a video game movie.
Does he mean like it's based on a video game, or it runs down the beat of a video game?
Right, the latter. So what happened is we had this argument that went online for like, you know, an hour, where he was talking about good video game movies, which there at the time and still are very few of. Currently, right now, Rampage, the episode of the week starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, is the number one highest rated video game on Rotten Tomatoes with, do you know the percentage?
I'm going to say 82.
He would love that. 50%.
Oh my God.
It is the highest reviewed video game movie of all time at 50%. So going back to Edge of Tomorrow, which... didn't we do a podcast on that?
Oh, we absolutely did.
Very early on. But so Edge of Tomorrow is one of my favorite action movies from the past decade. I think it's amazing. I loved it. I'm pretty sure everybody else on the show loved it from my recollection.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So we got to talking about it, and Brad says, yeah, well, it's when we're talking about good, quote unquote, video game movies, it's like, well, Edge of Tomorrow. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Double Dragon, the new Tomb Raider,
Super Mario Brothers.
I mean, those are video game movies because they are adaptations of a video game. And Brad's argument was, you know, I don't know exactly what it was. This was months ago, but he says, well, but you start over, and these certain things are like cutscenes, and then you start over, you die, you repeat. It's like starting over from a checkpoint. And I'm like, okay, so that's homage, that's influenced by video games. Okay, there's similarities, but no way in hell is Edge of Tomorrow a video game movie.
No. So to me, a video game movie is a movie that is based off of a previous video game property. Edge of Tomorrow, I'm almost positive Edge of Tomorrow is a...
manga. It's based on
technically, it's a comic book movie.
I mean, if anything, yeah. So it's, you know, the Japanese...
that's what it would be.
Those Japanese manga books, that's what it is based off, one of those. And that was the All You Need Is Kill was the title of the book,
correct,
right?
Correct. That's right.
And
so, Brad, I cannot in good faith back up your argument that it is a video game movie, because it's a comic book movie, if you want to get technical.
So,
sorry, Brad.
Yeah, sorry.
But
so
I will not try to convince Kevin.
Hey, you know, he's like Judge Dredd. Joe is wearing that hat, the helmet, and he's
right,
screaming about being the law, and that's it. What he says goes.
It's so funny. So yesterday, obviously, was the release of Action Comics 1000. It was kind of a big deal. It's the birthday. It was released the same day as Action Comics the same year, I believe, as Action Comics number 1, 1938. So we're like exactly 80 years to the day. Bath and I, friend of the show, Brian Spath, and I went around to local comic shops to kind of see what they were doing, if they had any deals. And I ended up finding
Action Comics number 1.
I did. It's amazing. It was just sitting in a box. Nobody knew what they had. I paid the guy 10 cents and walked out the door. It was fantastic.
Congratulations.
I quit my job already.
Oh, so you can afford a good microphone.
Correct. Yeah, just one. I'm going to spend $3 million on a good mic.
We're gonna buy a radio station, and Joe is gonna be the only one there, and he's just gonna record these episodes
all the time. I'm just gonna sit there 24/7, bring the kids on. It'll be great. But I did end up finding, I've always looked for the Judge Dredd. So he kind of started in 2000 AD, which is like a European comic magazine. A lot of the European creator, like British creators that we know here in the States, all kind of got their start over there. It's nuts to look at some of those comics. Like, there's no way that helmet is feasible. Like, you can't see out of that helmet. Like, it's just, it's too big and too bulky. But it's funny to look at some of those older comics with Judge Dredd, where I'm just like, yeah, this is, keep making these movies if you can. don't go back to the Schwarzenegger stuff. Go to the 2000 AD book and look at how crazy that stuff was.
Yeah, you know, that Carl Urban Dredd movie was great, wasn't it?
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the closest thing they got to the comic that, you know, in all fairness, when you cast, it's almost like casting Tom Cruise. That's why Tom Cruise couldn't be Iron Man, because he'd be out of the suit the whole time. Now, granted, we get that now because Robert Downey Jr. is what he is. But, you know, when you cast Stallone in 93?
Yeah.
Is that sound right?
Yeah, 94 was that Demolition Man. It was right around then.
Okay, but he's not going to wear a helmet.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're going to see Stallone's face.
Yeah, and there was Judge Dredd was 95, so I guess it went Demolition Man and
oh,
then
wow.
Judge Dredd.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Demolition Man's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, I love those movies. We've talked about it before. These are all, if they're not good movies, they're deep-fried tacos because they're so fun.
That's true.
You know, what were some of yours? That's what we're doing on this show. So I'll list off mine. So mine was, there was Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God, that's so bad.
Right? But so there was that. There was
Dennis. When Dennis Rodman tried to be more than a thing.
Right? Oh, it was great. Yeah. So, yeah, Demolition Man. So that was Snipes and Stallone. Such a fun movie.
Demolition Man was good.
Yeah. You have Judge Dredd, of course, that we already mentioned. And then I'm going to keep on the topic of these video game movies. I don't care if they're bad or not, but I grew up with Double Dragon on VHS, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme once again. Like, those were my movies of the 90s. What about you?
Oh, man, the movies of the 90s. The 90s is a weird time for me because there was a shift in movies at that point, right? So for me. So, like, I started to get, you know, the movie store, it was a Blockbuster, basically. Like, we had a small movie store at the top of our block, but Blockbuster bought them out, and then
that was
a big thing.
That was fitting. Blockbuster bought out the movie at the top of the block?
That's what happened, man. Like, there were mom-and-pop stores everywhere, you know? Like, there were the stores that had, like, the brown, like, clamshell boxes that were behind the counter. You know, like, the things that you see in Clerks was exactly how it was when I was a kid.
Wow.
And then when Blockbuster came into town, like, they shut all that stuff down. They shut down all those mom-and-pop places. They didn't exist. There was one place that was local called Star Video that I think was the last one to fall. And then finally I think they may have sold Hollywood, now that I think about it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
When Hollywood tried to quote-unquote compete with Blockbuster. Isn't that funny that people were just like, Blockbuster was such a juggernaut that nobody could compete with them?
Well, think about it. It's
like that was a thing.
It's like a lot of these. But yeah, Best Buy competing with Circuit City and other electronic stores knocks them out. You've got Barnes & Noble's left. Borders is shut down. I think a lot of those other little bookstores, you know, around me, it's like all I've got is Barnes & Noble. So it's like you got the one juggernaut. And then I think like Walmart, but that's in every industry. They just push everybody out.
Yeah. So, I mean, Blockbuster got to the point where they like, I was able to find more stuff, honestly. Like, the mom-and-pops had, like, that was the horror place. Like, if you wanted good horror flicks, you would go to, like, the mom-and-pops because Blockbuster wouldn't really carry that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I think for the night, I mean, for me, it was probably, like, the Goonies and the Monster Squad. Really anything that had to do with, like, so Mac and Me, I don't know if you remember that, Matt. Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons was a big one for a while.
Yeah.
And then we got into the horror stuff. Like, and then, you know, the 80s slashers, the VHS boom that made New Line and all of these other kind of smaller companies millions of dollars because they could spend, you know, not even 15 grand on a movie and it would make millions of dollars.
Wow. Well, you know,
then horror, you know, stuff like and bad action movies like American American Dragon or those are awful. They're, you know, any of the Cyborg or the Van Damme stuff
isn't,
were also terrible.
Isn't Time Cop known as one of the worst movies of all time?
Oh, I don't think so.
Really?
No,
I thought
Cyborg maybe. Time Cop's not bad.
I was pretty sure.
No, it is bad. It is bad, but it's not like, I don't know.
Really? It was, maybe it was a different one. I thought, well, you know what, at the time, so back in the day when Time Cop was on VHS, so, you know, you're talking early 90s, they didn't have Rotten Tomatoes. They didn't have these things. And so I remember people just, it was known that Time Cop was one of the worst movies of all time. But nowadays, Rotten Tomatoes, we have movies with 0% and 3% and all that. You know, so
we have the 0% club on Real Sports.
We do, we do. So, okay, well, let's jump back into the League of Show Shares board, Joe. Why don't you read our next question?
So our next question is from Miguel. If I pronounce this poorly, I'm really sorry. McGrainer?
Sure.
I don't know if that's right.
Sounds right to me, but tell
Miguel,
us.
You feel... So his first question is, if you could have a theme song, what would it be? And that's I'll shoot that one to you first.
Great. Stick me with the hard-hitting questions. If I could have a theme song, geez, that is a hard question. I honestly am completely stumped. I'm going to try to think. Do you have anything in mind for this?
So it's weird. So, okay. It's Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Yeah, it's a good song.
That would be it. I understand that it was CM Punk's theme song when he came back after he got fired, quote unquote, quit. But I liked that song when it came out.
Yeah.
I thought that song, like, it was a different kind of music. It was an African American, like, rock singer, which is something that I hadn't heard before. Mine would be Cult of Personality by Living Color.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. That's an interesting, I'm going to have to get back to Miguel on that one. I can do my best to answer his next question. So what was the number two question on there was, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? let me try to.
I mean, for me personally, yeah, you go first.
Oh, I've been thinking about this, and so this is what I've been thinking about. Okay, so you know, Galileo proposed in Two New Sciences, the square cube law, if the area of an object doubles, the volume is cubed. Applied to a biological entity, if you grew a duck to the size of a horse, its legs and muscles, not to mention its bone structure, would not have nearly the strength to support such a creature. Thus, the horse-sized duck would be an easier enemy. So I'm going to go with the horse-sized duck. It's my final answer.
That's, you did some serious homework on that. I'm impressed.
Well, I mean, it just came to me.
Sure. Of course. For me personally, I will take the 100 duck-sized horse.
100
duck-sized horse. I feel like I could take a baseball bat pretty quickly to the duck-sized horses, and the fight's over. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, are horses even that angry? Is it because they're duck-sized? I mean, I feel like horses, they eat hay, right? Hay is for horses.
No, they bite. They absolutely bite.
I know they kick you if you get behind them.
Haven't you ever seen that video of like a horse biting that girl's hair, just like ragdolling her around?
Ooh, yeah, that does sound familiar.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Well, yeah. So have you ever played any of the old Zelda games with the chickens?
No.
Okay. So in Super Nintendo, they started this thing that has become, it's in a bunch of the games now, but A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, you could go to these farms and there would be little chickens, just little white chickens hopping around, you know, clucking or whatever, and you could hit them with your sword and they would like run away and they'd get real scared and you could hit them. But if you hit them like 3 times, all of a sudden, like 100 chickens would come from the side of the screen and attack you. It's so...
Nope.
So I'm thinking, so you try to take on these 100 duck-sized horses and more just keep coming at you. You'd be in a lot of trouble if I've learned anything from those Zelda games.
Bring on the horses.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to test that someday.
Yeah, please, let's do it.
But here's an easy one, Joe.
If you pay $2,000 to the Patreon, I will fight 100 duck-sized horses.
So you're saying that we could raise enough money for the research and development and the breeding of these 100 duck-sized horses and the weaponry that you're going to use?
And then I will fight them, yeah.
But then we have to compete. We have to, like, talk to PETA. We might get people irritated with us. I mean...
That's fair. I mean, people are irritated with me all the time anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, now, if these were zombies, like, you would be... There would be an excuse, right?
Well,
like,
okay. All right. That is not part of the deal, because then if I get bitten, then I have to deal with that, and
Yeah, but you,
might
give you some time off
I'm
work.
Good. Thank you very much. Yes, that's good.
Okay, so Miguel's third and final question for now is vanilla or chocolate, Joe?
Chocolate all the way.
So I'm going to go, that's funny, I'm going to go the exact opposite. I'm going to go vanilla, and here's my reasoning why. So listen, sometimes you don't want chocolate, you just want vanilla, something a little lighter. But if you want chocolate, you can add chocolate candy, you can add chocolate syrup. You can turn vanilla into chocolate, but you can't turn chocolate into vanilla.
I like the taste of vanilla, like just plain vanilla, I am not a fan of at all.
Like, my favorite's French vanilla.
Okay.
No?
You're going to get all hoity-toity?
Well, it just gives you a little, you know, je ne sais quoi.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, you're right. But no, like, vanilla is...
All right. So, okay, moving on from questions. So our next topic, Steven Spielberg tackling DC Comics movie Black Hawk. What do you know about this?
I know the Black Hawks is kind of like a throwback older DC stuff. They were like a special forces kind of unit. They show up every once in a while in the book. So I'm not 100% up to date on like what their history is. I mean, Steven Spielberg doing anything with DC, it can only be a good thing. You know, that dude could have done a Superman movie that I thought would be, you know, pretty impressive. But I think, you know, maybe doing a 1940s, maybe 1930s Black Hawk movie where, you know, they have to, you know, I don't know what their villains are. I don't really know a lot about the Black Hawks, but I think it's a pretty good move to let Spielberg do a period piece within your universe, and then you've got him a foot in the door for Steven Spielberg into the DCEU is always a good thing.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion.
I think it's the perfect place for him to enter, because you don't have Steven Spielberg come and do Batman. Don't have Steven Spielberg come and do, you know, Thor 4 if they were over at Marvel. I mean, don't have him come and take something that's established and put a spin on it. Let him do something that is a war movie, because that's what Steven Spielberg does, though. He obviously has such an interest in that time period, and he's made so many great war films that if you take a character that is surrounded by war, then it's going to be a perfect entry point.
Well, I think it's a group. I think the Blackhawks are like a group of pilot, I believe. Like, I always, like, when I think of the Blackhawks, I think of like leather bomber jackets and you know, like old timey. It's funny, you type in DC Comics and the first thing that pops up is Blackhawk.
Sure. Yeah, people are wondering.
I mean, just a little background on it. There are fictional characters that were actually from Quality Comics that DC Comics bought. Howard Chaykin was involved. They look like, I mean, if you look up their pictures, they're pilots. It's a military comic. So, you know, having Spielberg attached to that is a good thing.
Right. It's based around World War II. I mean, think about how many films he's made revolving around World War II, and obviously a lot of critically acclaimed stuff. So I think this is the perfect point to get him in on a quote unquote comic book movie when, you know, it's like he's not tackling the heroes that we think of when we hear comic book or superheroes, but it is technically a comic book. So it's Spielberg and a DC movie. I think that's a great entry point for him.
And that's, you know, we've said from the jump that they need a Kevin Feige, and maybe it's Spielberg in a weird way. Maybe Spielberg, not to the extent, but like he can, you know, when you get the Spielberg machine behind it, whether it's Amblin or, is he part of DreamWorks?
I don't know if he is anymore, but it's DreamWorks SKG. He was the S.
Okay. You know, you get that mind behind your movies. He's the reason Paranormal Activity worked.
Well, I mean, let's just think about it. I mean, Steven Spielberg is a master producer. Like, as much as we talk about him.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, amazing director, no doubt. He's a great, great director. But this guy's name, how much stuff is Steven Spielberg's name on? When you go into all the films like Back to the Future, you know, that Zemeckis did, but Steven Spielberg, Gremlins, when you think about the shows, Animaniacs, which is coming back, that's a Steven Spielberg property. I mean, the list goes on, and we don't need to list them all, but the point is, this guy has, I'm guessing, hundreds of producing credits. I just clicked on his IMDb, 169 producing credits.
That's insane. So, I mean, it's not insane. It's what, I mean, he's had a career since the 60s, right?
70s? Yeah, but I mean, so another amazing thing, the fact that he does one or two movies a year, he has 57 directing credits, but three times that producing. So the guy is a master producer. If you can get his money and his oversight, I don't know if he'll do it for comics. You know, I don't know if he has the time to dedicate with, you know, I mean, how many more years is he really going to be making movies? You know what I mean?
That's true.
He's
That's
probably fair. Wants to hit his passion projects. He usually does nowadays. It seems like two or three for him and one big Ready Player One, you know, every once in a while. But the thing is,
if you get like Abrams is a Spielberg guy.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you get Spielberg, maybe you start getting access to Abrams. Maybe you start getting access to some of those other guys that came up with Steven Spielberg, and you've got yourself a little group of guys that could, or and gals that could be some serious players in the DCEU if they decide to scrap the whole thing, which I think they should, and start again.
Yeah, the only thing that would concern me, or that I would question, is Abrams is a Star Wars guy, so that means would he be a Marvel guy?
That's true.
Rather than you know, if he's still producing these movies, he's coming back to direct the last one, right? So I don't.
Yeah,
he took over that one from Trevorrow, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, it'll be interesting to see, but I think we can both agree that Steven Spielberg for this property that I don't know much about, but reading about Black Hawk seems like a perfect fit for Spielberg.
No, it is. It's pretty smart.
Yep. So, okay. And that actually was a question from Jason Weesey. It was on our topics, but he actually asked about that. So Jason, there's your answer. Joe, another hypothetical. This one is from Griffin Fox Smith. He says, a beetle the size of a small dog is angrily staring at you from outside the window. It has a sharpened kitchen knife and looks ready to throw down. What do you do, and why is it so angry?
I have a gun, so I'm going to shoot it in the face. And I don't really care why it's angry. That's if there's a beetle the size of a dog in front of me, I don't care.
Yeah, that's some apocalypse stuff.
It's too risky. Yeah. It's too risky to even try to engage it in a conversation.
And I've played those Fallout games. No one has any problem with stomping on the giant beetles. I don't think PETA can mess with you because that is not an animal. It is a giant beetle, right?
Correct. So yeah. And if you're gonna get angry at me for a giant beetle, then too bad.
Yep.
I got kids, Kevin. I got kids.
I hear you. I've got a kid. I've got a couple animals here that would probably be eaten. I've got. You know, my little dog would bark at it until it was eaten, and my bigger dog would just like slink in the corner till it was eaten. So another.
Actually, if it ate the cat, I wouldn't be that angry about it. I hate that cat so much.
You and Tom both, right?
Yeah, stupid cat.
Yep. So Griffin, and why is it so angry? I'm pretty sure it just wanted to be friends, and we didn't accept it. That's it.
Then it got shot in the face.
And then, yeah, it just wanted to be Joe's friend, and it thought, this is the only way to get his attention, like a kid trying to get his parents' attention. Let me get this sharp kitchen knife, and Joe's going to pay attention to me. And he didn't know what would eventually happen.
Nope.
So thank you for your question.
Too risky.
Yep. Thank you. Joe, why don't you read me one?
Sure. We'll do Jason B. If you could reboot a childhood favorite and reimagine it with a much darker premise, what would it be?
Ooh. Since we've been talking about DC movies, the first one that immediately comes to my mind is Batman the Animated Series. And the reason why is...
Jeez, how much darker do you think you could get that?
I know, but so the problem is that we've got these DC movies that aren't working. We've got this Batman, which I think Affleck is great as Batman. He's just not in the right Batman material. And so Batman the Animated Series, yes, it was already a dark show, but it worked so well. If they could adapt the great writing of those guys, if you could get the Paul Dini and the Bruce Timm and all the people involved with that show and take some of those greatly written stories and adapt it to a great Batman, which could still be Affleck. I think that he
fits the part.
You
mean adapt it into a Batman movie?
Yeah, use some of those great storylines into a live-action movie. So Jason's a Batman guy, so I know he'll appreciate that. But childhood favorites, when I think of things from my childhood, Batman the Animated Series, I mean, Spider-Man the Animated Series, we've talked about the movies I've loved. I mean, you know, if I'm going to try to think of movies, I mean, Hackers, well, I don't know that they can make a dark movie out of that, but...
I don't know if you can make a dark version of Hackers.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying Batman.
Oh, man, that's a good question. Because a lot of the stuff that I liked as a kid, I don't think really lends itself to a dark and gritty version of itself.
How about The Crow?
How much darker can you get than I do think The Crow, like, that was the first thing I thought of, but then I didn't think you could make that any darker. But I mean, the original source material is pretty dark.
Sure.
You know, like, instead of it being a planned attack on Eric and Shelley, it is a completely random. Like, I think that they are having car trouble, and just Eric's working on the car, and like the car full of bad guys just happens to drive by them and decides to kill them. Like, I feel like the idea that it would be completely random is probably scarier than it being planned out.
But then there's no justice.
Like in the movie, they want to destroy the building. Like they want to tear that building down to sell the property and do all kinds of stuff. And Eric and Shelley refuse to leave, and that's why they were killed.
Yeah.
In the original comic, there is just a completely random attack.
Oh, I see.
Which to me is scarier than the big bad guy, you know, saying kill them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that the randomness is scarier, creepier, more relatable to where, oh my gosh, that could happen to anyone. But, you know,
right.
in movies, think about it. I'm going to go back to Batman because, again, I'm a Batman guy. So they had to give, you know, who killed Batman's parents in Batman 1987 or Batman 1989?
89.
Right. Yeah. And they ended up, instead of going with Joe Chill, they turned it into the Joker, Jack Nicholson's character.
Sure.
So that way Batman could face the person that killed his parents, not save him from the rooftop. I mean, however you want to call that, you know, kill/not save.
He reaches out for him, and the Joker doesn't.
Yeah, he also attaches him to a gargoyle that breaks. So it's, you know, it's,
that is also true.
He tried to save him, but you know what I mean. Like, so there's always that fine line, and at least Tim Burton didn't have Batman blowing him up with a machine gun like some directors would do.
That is fair.
But you know, they had to tie it up that way at the end of the movie. So whether there's a sequel or not, the hero can get some kind of vengeance, some kind of justice, or at least kind of put that to rest. But of course, with the Batman character, that's what drives the character. So he's never going to be at peace. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
So, but
how about Back to the Future, where he actually sleeps with his mom?
Oh, you just watched the John Mulaney on SNL, so I know exactly.
Oh, I know. I didn't.
What?
Is that a skit on there? So I've only seen the drag diner.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen the 420 walkout one.
Okay, let's veer off road for a second. So first of all, John Mulaney, one of the funniest stand up comedians right now. Go watch
right now. Yeah, for sure.
Go watch all his specials on Netflix. He just hosted SNL, and so now for Joe, there was this skit where they talk about an old TV show that apparently was popular in the 90s. And it was canceled. And
oh, I did see that.
Okay, and now because
strong.
Yeah, of course, all the reboots and remakes, like they do, they want to bring it back. But the reason the old show failed was they kept focusing. It was like a Freaky Friday where there was a swap, and all they would focus on was that the mom would be like, "It's Wednesday, it's our night," and the kid would be all
right.
And so every episode revolved around the kids having to sleep with his mom. And so I thought, "Oh man, Joe loves
that." Was very funny.
Yeah. So maybe a subconscious there.
Okay,
so let's jump to a new subject. So there's a big movie coming out. I think it's going to make a few bucks. It's called Avengers: Infinity War.
Oh. I think it's playing at the High Point only for us here in St. Louis.
Yeah, for people that are not local, that's an art house theater. So yeah, I think it might get in there.
Yep.
We'll see if it makes the cut. So this movie they're talking about, according to Fandango, which of course is only a small, I mean, it's a big chunk, but it's just a percentage of the ticket pre-sales, because you can reserve things through movietickets.com, through your theater. Atom Tickets is a big one. AMC, you go directly through.
I prefer the smaller theaters here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I bought my tickets through their website rather than Fandango.
Nice. Yeah. Give them more of the percentage, or at least save the fees or whatnot. So anyway, so not to say that it's not worth anything, but Fandango is probably one of the biggest ticket retailers. And for their numbers, it is already outpacing Black Panther, which, as we've discussed, Black Panther is, you know, one of the biggest movies of all time now. So
yeah, it's the number. I think it's the number two movie domestic of all time.
Domestic, yeah. So and worldwide, it's number five, I think, of all time.
Yeah.
So Black Panther was an incredible success, and that had records for pre-sales. Infinity War is beating that, so carry the one,
divide
by five, plus two, fraction, multiplier, parentheses. And that means that this movie is going to do insane business. I mean, do you think, is it possible that this movie, I mean, at first I thought, okay, well, yeah, it's got all the Avengers plus Black Panther. Of course it will do great. But then look at the second.
I mean, not only does it have it, but I'm almost positive that we have to be able to see some new characters. You know what I mean? Like, I would not be surprised if Captain Marvel showed up somehow. Adam Warlock.
I think James Gunn said he's not in it. James Gunn.
Because, oh, he did?
Yeah, because he said there was that post-credits scene, and he explicitly said that he wanted to use that character, but he said that he is not going to be in Infinity War. It wasn't leading to that. It was just its own little standalone.
Okay. Well, yeah, I it's going to be a massive movie. Are you going to ask me if I think it's going to break a billion world domestic?
That's the question. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So domestically, Black Panther made $675 million. I mean, that is quite a bit, quite a bit away from $1 billion, but you've got Black Panther as a part of this group with all the other heroes, so is that enough to boost it?
That's I think it's very possible. I don't know how it doesn't make $1 billion.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be cool.
And I mean, we got it'll be close. I think it'll be close.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So just as a refresher, Marvel's The Avengers, the very first one from 2012, made $1.5 billion worldwide, and Avengers Age of Ultron made $1.4 billion, so not as much as the first, but this one obviously coming off the huge success of Black Panther, I think will easily outperform Ultron, and it's got like, what, 30-some-odd superheroes in it? It's...
I mean, it's everything. It's every character that we've seen so far,
except Hawkeye.
Apparently, poor Jeremy Renner.
You know what my theory is? I think I've Sherlock Holmesed it. I've cracked the case. Everybody's gonna die, but Hawkeye, and he is now the leader of the West Coast Avengers.
I mean, I could see them doing it, like spinning off the West Coast Avengers, as long as Vision wears the white suit.
There you go.
That's really that's the only thing that matters.
So, yeah, we'll have to see. But either way, I don't think they're going to be hurting for money when this thing comes out. Let's just put it that way.
Absolutely not.
So Jeremy, a friend of the show and writer for ReviewSTL, says, I've got a question for you. If I'm wanting to see the new Avengers movie, which one should I watch in advance? I think it would be hard to jump into it without watching any of them, although there probably are some that you could skip. So, Joe, you're the comic guy. What movies do you think you could leave out before Avengers 3?
Probably leave out Iron Man 2. You could probably leave out...
3? Do you need Iron Man 3?
I'm trying to think if you actually need Iron Man 3 or not.
I mean, I love...
I guess you don't really... Yeah, because there's no connective tissue to Iron Man 3.
I feel like the origins would be good, and probably every Captain America movie.
Every Captain America movie is like really important. Like, I think every single, like, you know, the first one you get the introduction of Cap, second one you get Bucky, and then the third one is the split. Like, I think they're all equally important.
And is also Avengers 2.5.
It is. That's true. That's true. You could probably skip Thor 2, though you won't know where the ether came from. That's a thing in Thor 2.
Do you think, I'm just wondering, so aside from the character development, and of course the origins have been, you know, very enjoyable for these.
Whoa, now's the time that
hold
you
on,
really
hold on, I'm getting music.
A selfish.
Some ad started playing on my computer. No, I thought, probably knowing your track record for today. No.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even there, but it's my fault.
So all the origin movies have been really good. So I think that that's good to watch them and for the character development. But if it comes to the stones, so Thanos of course has the gauntlet and he's trying to collect all the Infinity Gems for the gauntlet. Do you think the layman, the non-comic book hero? You know, if they just want to come see a bunch of guys kick ass and all the superheroes on screen, is the layman really going to care, like, how Thanos got the stones for his glove?
Probably not. And I have to believe, I mean, the Russo brothers are really good at making these ensemble movies work. So I'm sure there will be some sort of explanation as to, like, where Thanos has gotten them. So, I mean, you probably need to watch all of the origins, all of the first entries. Probably Spider-Man, which doesn't really have any connective tissue besides Tony Stark. Like, it's its own kind of thing, but you have Tony Stark in it. And if you want to do it like a whack job, you could actually watch the first, 10 minutes of Spider-Man, first 20 minutes, then go watch Cap 3, and then come back and finish Spider-Man, because that's the way it would play out.
Right, because he's got the cell phone footage.
Right, correct.
Oh,
and it's also like, yeah, he's filming himself before he goes to the airfield. Like, the opening part of Spider-Man is him getting to the airfield.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it is what it is. But I think all of the Origins ones, I think Guardians 1, Guardians 2, you don't really need. It's a great movie, but you don't really need it.
Yeah, they're kind of, I mean, when you talk about Ragnarok and you talk about Guardians 2, these are really fun movies. but do you need to see them for continuity? They're pretty standalone.
You might need to watch Ragnarok because it will tell you where Thor is.
But the question is, like, do you need to know where Thor is to understand when the Avengers assemble and Thor's there? Like, does it matter?
You might, because I don't think we're not going to see Thor. I think when we see, he's going to be on that ship and that ship's going to explode.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of Ragnarok, there's the big ship in front of the little ship.
Sure.
I think that ship's going to explode, and Thor is going to be picked up by the Guardian.
Ah, interesting.
So I think you're gonna want to know how he got there.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, I think that's a good plan. So maybe throw in Thor 3. It's a lot of fun. But watch the origins.
Yep.
Sequels don't matter as much. Watch Thor for fun. And, of course, Black Panther. We talked about on Real Spoilers that it is going to be around the first week of release for Infinity War. So
should still be in theaters, yeah.
Yeah, so at least it comes out the following week. So whether or not it's, you know, right up until the Tuesday or the Friday, I don't know how they're going to pull it. Look at Jumanji. It was in theaters for 2 weeks while it was on VOD to buy, and people still gave it a couple million dollars every week. So
it was nuts.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that's the way to do it. And I think it will be great to see Black Panther again. Most people have seen it, but it's such a great movie. Watch it again right into Infinity War. It should be a good lead-in.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what the hit they had on their hands, but they couldn't have timed that any better.
Right, exactly. Joe, question for you. This one comes from Dan Scott,
yeah.
And he asks, if you could enter in any movie franchise as the new lead character, which franchise would it be, and what would your character do? What's his name?
I would enter the Die Hard franchise as the hotshot by the book new partner for John McClane, who ends up adopting McClane's mentality towards, like, as the movie progresses.
Nice. So this is kind of like,
yeah.
I sense this as being kind of like a lethal Die Hard kind of.
Like, he's the guy that, you know, but we'd have to have. I can't have the John McClane from the last Die Hard. I need, like, the McClane from one or one to three.
Yeah.
Like, one to that John McClane. Preferably the John McClane, like, kind of a drunk, you know.
Smart ass.
Doesn't want a partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then he's got to deal with my nudiness, if you will.
Well, I think I speak for everyone when we say that none of us need the John McClane from the last Die Hard.
No, correct. That is correct, yes.
Brad Hyen, friend of the show, asks, how do you feel about the Gremlins reboot? I don't really know anything about this. I have heard rumblings about it, ramblings at that, but I don't know any of the details. And I have to say, I am getting pretty sick of remakes and reboots. So I'm going to say,
here's the problem with doing that is Gremlins was supposed to be a rated R horror movie.
Okay.
Joe Dante, that was not supposed to be what it turned out. That's Steven Spielberg with his influence, came in and tooled around with it a little bit and turned it into what it was. That was supposed to be a horror flick. And I don't think you can do that. I think they're going to, if they do it, it's going to be like this, you know, you might be able to do it for an animated flick,
but
and make it a little less dark. There's something from when we were kids that you could turn dark and gritty and make it not fun. And that's the Gremlins.
That's true. Actually make it a rated R because you could definitely tell.
Yeah.
I mean, those kills, I mean, when they, you know, when they kill the neighbors and you can tell there's some violent stuff going on. You just don't see it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think the scene where they keep messing with the neighbor who's in, like, the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like the lady where she's, I think they were supposed to cut her head off and, like, kick it down the steps.
Right.
And that got cut from the movie.
Yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah. Cause I've watched Gremlins with my son and I don't think I would have shared it with him quite this early if there were that type of violence going on.
No, probably not.
Yeah, so let's see. Let's do one more question, and then we'll wrap it up. We want to keep these around an hour, so we can leave some questions for next time. If your question didn't get answered, I'm sorry. You probably suck, but no, just kidding. You just keep asking. We'll either carry these over to next time, or we will just have new questions. So let's see.
Right.
For the final question, I'm going to go to a wrestling question for Joe.
All right.
feel like, you know, Oh, I'm generous. I'm feeling generous. I'm going to go with a two-parter here. I'm going to go with a Superman, right, a Superman question and a wrestling question for Joe.
Oh man.
So
right in my wheelhouse.
Yep. So first of the two-parter here, Matt Reedy wants to know, because of the 80th birthday you mentioned, what is your favorite all-time story from the comics of Superman?
Oh man. Does that include
comics only?
Dude, okay. That's tough. I think Kingdom Come is always the one that I think is one of the best. There's a lot. There's Red Sun, there's Superman Secret Origin, Birthright, but I think Kingdom Come by Mark Waid and Alex Ross is probably the, in my opinion, again, subjective art form, the best Superman story ever. If you haven't read it, please do it. You can find it anywhere, digital, trade paperbacks, however you want to get it. It's beautifully painted. Alex Ross does the pencils, but he also paints everything. And yeah, it is a beautiful book.
If you don't know Alex Ross, just Google Alex Ross.
Yeah, you have to.
Do Alex Ross DC and look at his Batman, look at his Joker, Superman, just all the DC characters, Justice League. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a toss up between Birthright and Kingdom Come, but I think Kingdom Come gets what wonderful and amazing about Superman. Just to give you the brief history, the old guard of heroes have retired for the most part. There's a new guard that did not have the older heroes to train them, and it's gang warfare. And finally, they realize that Superman, who has retired at this point and has left, they need him to come back and set things right after an incident in Kansas. I won't tell you what happened in Kansas, but there's a big incident, and they realize they need him back. And he's a broken man, and for reasons you will see in the book why he's broken. And he doesn't want to come back, but he knows that he may have to, and he comes to blows with you. You will see versions of heroes that are one of the things that's always been cool about DC is like their heroes can be generational. So you see different iterations or younger generations of older heroes. But don't worry, all of the people you like are there. Everybody exists. They just might look a little bit older.
Cool. Very
That's
good.
Something we can all. Yeah.
Man, we all exist a little bit differently than we remember ourselves.
A little bit different. Yeah.
And so we'll wrap up the discussion for this week with a question from Troy Anspa. And Troy says, what do you think about John Cena's up and coming movie career, and what wrestler may be the next to move to Hollywood?
I think Cena knows his time in the ring is up, or very, very close to being up. He has enough name recognition at this point to parlay that into some sort of Hollywood career. I don't think he has the ability of The Rock, but granted, The Rock wasn't The Rock when he first came out, you know, like he had the charisma, but he didn't have the skills to back it up. I think if Cena wants to do the Hollywood thing, he needs to leave wrestling. You cannot do both and expect to have the career of The Rock. That's just not going to happen. The Rock left the WWF/WWE and dedicated full time to movies. And that's why he got as good as he did. So I think Cena in bit part can be funny. We talked about it in Sisters. We talked about it in what was the other one where he was like a bit part?
Oh, it was the Amy Schumer one. He was the boyfriend.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was...
Train wreck.
Yeah.
Yes. Train wreck. I didn't see Blockers, but Tom from Real Spoilers seemed to enjoy it. Do I think he has the ability to be a leading man? I don't, honestly. And he kind of got himself in a little bit of hot water in the past week or so. He's kind of done he's been playing the part of the heel, which is he's not accustomed to. Obviously, he and Nikki Bella, who were a couple for 6+ years, like to the point where they even proposed to each other. Like he proposed to her at WrestleMania last year, not this year, but last year. He broke off the engagement
a month before they were going to get married, right?
Yeah, like his career, or I'm not here to speculate. I don't know, but he kind of seems like the guy behind the scenes that cares more about his career than the people around him. There are plenty of stories of him burying talent and new guys because he could. So, you know, I think Cena may need to cool his jets, cool his pies, if you will.
So who do you think
stay out of the line?
Yeah. So who do you think, who's the next Rock? If it's not going to be Cena, still to be determined, who is the next Rock to hit Hollywood
from the WWE?
Yeah. If we're going to talk about WWE, I mean, you could say any wrestler, but I think people would really understand the WWE people.
That's tough. 'Cause I don't think there is one. I think the only guy that really comes to mind is The Miz, maybe. He has been doing, he's been in movies. He has the experience of working on set. He was in the Marine, like all of the Marine sequels that were awful, like the ones that are straight to DVD or whatever. But he's got a look. He's got the right kind of charisma. Maybe Dolph Ziggler, if he decides to quit wrestling altogether and get into, I know he likes doing stand-up. Maybe he can parlay that into something if acting is something that he wants to do. But I don't, I can't really point to a guy or gal for that matter that could make the jump at this point.
What about
their roster is, but they're struggling.
What about New Day? They're so funny. Could they do a comedy? They have such personalities,
I think maybe they could write.
Yeah.
I think that there is definitely some wit, and I think all three of them are very smart. I think Big E and Xavier Woods are the two that could probably write something and, make that work. I don't know about acting, but I definitely think they can write something that could be really funny.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. That was Joe's Wrestling Hollywood Corner. So tune in every week if we make it that far.
I have a microphone that works.
Yeah, exactly. If we can make the connection work. But anyway, so that's our show. So that is another Real Spoilers 0.5 episode. You get an idea of what we're trying to do. Obviously, we'll hone it in a little better. But the idea is talk about what's going on, talk about the show, and talk about what you're asking about. Talk about questions that you give us, corrections, you name it. So we love the discussion. We love the League of Show Sharers and everyone chiming in. So thank you for that. But for now, let's tell everyone where they can find us. So I'm Kevin, and you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and on ReviewSTL.com. Joe?
And this is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
All right. And thank you again for listening. And we will give you all the information for the Patreon along with this episode and post on League of Show Shares. Thank you so much for even entertaining the idea of supporting another episode. Please give us your feedback and suggestions. Again, all we want to do is provide more bonus content for the people that want it. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. This is going to be fun, so don't worry.
Yeah, I think we'll have a lot of fun with it, and we'll try to bring on guests and different things that are relevant every week. And who knows, we might end up doing more than one a week some days, but we got to see where the support is, and we got to see if anyone wants it.
Yes, correct.
So, of course, tune in to Real Spoilers. The movie of the week is I Feel Pretty, starring Amy Schumer, so that will be coming up. You should be able to catch that next Tuesday/Thursday for the box office and the movie review, and then we will talk to you on another 0.5 next Friday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Have a great weekend.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.